That is a very Solomon-esque idea. Solomon-ish, you know. So what happens later? We have our setting. We're in Israel. We have our time. We're around the 800s BC. Got our location and everything. We're up with Ahab and Jehoshaphat. The purpose being to come together, the result of whatever their reason of coming together was the affinity between them. Affinity means like a connection, you know, a connection between two people, things, or whatever. The affinity was the marriage between Rehoboam, not Rehoboam, Je not Jeroboam, Jehoshaphat's son and Ahab. Ahab's daughter. Yeah, Joseph's son and Ahab's daughter. In the mix, it comes up with all these 400 prophets and whatnot. Why were the prophets called?
To affirm whether or not they should go to battle.
When Jehoshaphat asked the question specifically if they've, well, he didn't ask the question. He said, we need to seek God first in the setting. But Ahab had more of a generalized idea of what he meant, or at least he appeared to. So he goes and get 400 generic prophets and leaves out the one who might confirm what he didn't like.
Who are they going to fight? Who's the enemy here? Why are we calling prophets? Why are we trying to find out what God wants in this situation as Ahab and Jehoshaphat? Why are they even doing it? Who's the enemy here? Because we're there, they want to pray, or Jehoshaphat wants to pray. They call out, Jehoshaphat calls out, you have a prophet from God. I see you got your 400 Baal prophets here, but you got one from, you know, from a real prophet, from, you know, when we were kids. And they call Micaiah. Micaiah comes out. But what was the reason? Why were they calling a prophet in the first place? What did they need a prophet for? They wanted to go to battle, right? With who? Ramoth Gilead is where the battle would take place.
Syria.
With
the king of Syria.
The king of Syria.
Yeah.
And Syria, if we remember on our imaginary map of Israel, Judah, Assyria, P, what's P? Persia and Medes. Who's the people right here over Israel? Syria. So they're coming down from the north. All right. It appears, I think you were the one that said it, that Ahab needed help because Jehoshaphat and Judah has a buffer between he and Syria. So Ahab needed the help, right? Why did Jehoshaphat go to him instead of Ahab coming down and asking for help?
He wasn't going to him to help. He was just going to him. And then Ahab was one, as she said earlier, with the agenda. He said, okay. So we butted now. We tight, right?
We
And
tight, right?
he said, my people are, you know, yeah, my people, your people, we're the same people. He was looking back in the 22nd chapter of 1 Kings, which is the same account. And it says, it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we are still, and take it not out of the hand of king of Syria. So,
Where are you?
Second King.
Second
1
Kings
Kings
22 and 22 and.
beginning, 3 now.
Okay.
And so, and the king of Israel said unto his servant. So, what it's basically saying is that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us, but they got it. We ain't doing nothing. So, it wasn't like it didn't seem to me like an impending war where Jehoshaphat would go down and I'm going down there getting ready to go to war and blah, blah, blah. But he's saying, and he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And he said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horse is thy horse. So he's saying, you know, we're sharing everything. So that's how he got him on board. And then he said, then it says, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord. And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400, and said unto them, Jehoshaphat said in the beginning, inquire of the Lord. And he got all his prophets together, and Jehoshaphat saying, okay. But he asked him in the beginning, inquire of the Lord, whether or not we should go into battle. And he said, the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord has delivered thee into the hands. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Then that's when Micaiah's name came up. So Jehoshaphat was the one that inquired, asked about seeking God first.
Mm-hmm.
And Ahab said, okay. So we got,
he said,
hey, I got glass 400. Water. 400
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
But Jehoshaphat was like,
a real prophet.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about Cogsworth and Beauty and the Beast, when they're going to prepare a meal for Belle, and he's calling for a glass of water and a crust of bread. Like, no, with a meal because she's hungry. That's not what we're looking for. He's saying, okay, we'll seek God. Where are the prophets at? And knowing how they got the prophets, wasn't it any Tom, Dick, or Harry that was available? You need a job? Come be a prophet. You know, they're doing it. Everybody's a prophet. So the fact that they have 400 of them just there, all saying the same thing. Like, was there one prayer offered? Was there anyone that sought after it? But when you're a prophet to Baal, what do you have to seek him for? You tell them what they want to hear.
Preserve your life.
And then Micaiah, on the other hand, will hear from God and tell you what he says. So that's why he's ostracized. Like, I don't want to use this guy. He always got something bad to say. You know, he always messes stuff up. And Jehoshaphat said, don't talk about the prophet like that. You know, be careful how you speak about the prophet. But we'll go in that direction.
The same thing people do today. Sometimes they don't pray about things. They say, God, he don't do what I want. You know, they don't pray because they're afraid God's going to say something other.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're pretty sure that God is going to say something other than what they want to do.
Because a lot of times we know deep down inside what we're asking for is just his signature.
Yeah.
We want to fill out the contract and come up with all the terms and then just say, will you please just sign my prayer request?
Don't read it. Just sign it.
Now, when you, now I don't know if anyone has done this as a child, but bring a paper for your parents to sign. It always worked on TV, but it cover up all the important stuff and just, you know, put a paper on top of what the parent needs to be reading. You just need you to sign here. So what is this? It ain't nothing. Okay, well, let me read it. Oh, we get frustrated then because now there's consideration. Like, what am I signing? Now, what is it that you're doing? And this is pointing out your behavior in class. And why am I just now hearing about this? It's not in the sense like that where we're informing God of anything, but we're the ones who are in that uncomfortable position because we know exactly what we're really asking for. And what Ahab, at this point, he had an agenda and he was going to do what it took to meet that agenda. He was prepared, had everything in place. You want to seek God? All right, I got prophets. God. I need, and he didn't say, is there a prophet from another God? He said, the Lord. Because he knew, regardless of what you may have grown accustomed to in the culture that was created in Israel, you know who God is. Because if you didn't, then why'd you know to get Micaiah?
He knew. And that's never a good point, too.
Right.
That's a good point, because if it was some foreign person that didn't know about God, you'd have to do more explaining.
Right.
But he didn't even do any explaining. He said, the Lord.
Oh, that one.
You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
So, as we look here, we see Ahab is up in Israel. He's got his own problems with Assyria or Syria. It was Ben-Hadad is the guy in Syria or Assyria. Which one was he from? I think he was from Syria.
Who?
Ben-Hadad.
Wasn't he the other chapter with
Well, there were hostilities with Ben-Hadad and with Israel. And what happened was that for 3 years there were no hostilities. And then Ahab decided he wanted Ramoth-Gilead back. Because he fought with the Syrians. And they won somewhat. And there was a treaty. There was peace. But apparently Ramoth-Gilead was supposed to come back to Israel, and Israel didn't get it in time. Well, didn't get it. And 3 years later, Ahab's like, dude, you know what? I want that Ramoth-Gilead back. That's our land. That's our people. Let's take it back. So, before you go on a dangerous excursion like that, Ahab wanted to talk to his prophets. Actually, no.
He didn't bring it up.
He didn't bring it up. Jehoshaphat asked to hear from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when he asked to hear from the Lord, Ahab provided
Micaiah.
No. He provided the prophets of Baal. And it wasn't until, he asked again, hey, is that all you got? You got anything else in that bag here?
Anything in the bag?
That had to be pretty
awkward, maybe?
Yeah, like, okay.
Look in the 21st and 22nd chapters of 1 Kings. A lot of this, what we're talking about now, there's more detail there from the Israel point of view. There's a lot going on. Do we really remember who Ahab was? Mm-hmm. You remember he's the same guy who wanted the field, Naboth's field, and his wife, whose name was?
Jezebel.
I wasn't pointing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. What was Ahab's wife's name?
Jezebel.
She came in and she boosted him up. And what does anybody? What does she get Ahab to do except you? What did she get Ahab to do? It might have been before you guys got here. Okay. What did she get Ahab to do? Jezebel.
Got,
exactly. Aren't you the king? Mm-hmm. What you sitting there all pooped out mouth and whatnot?
You want it, take it.
Mm-hmm.
Naboth, the guy who owned the vineyard. Ahab wanted the vineyard that was owned by Naboth. So he's sitting at home because he asked Naboth for it. And Naboth said, I can't get that to you. And he gave him the reason.
He tried to sell it to him. He tried to say, I'll buy it.
I buy it.
He said, but you know, I can't sell.
It was a Levite. Yeah, it was a Levitical
thing. It was the law said you could not sell that property. And he knew it.
And so Ahab goes back home and he's
pouting.
Jezebel walks in, sees her man over there pouting. So what does she do? She's going to boost him up.
Mm-hmm.
Who want to see a man pouting? Anybody here ever had a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, or wife? When you see your significant other sad, does that do something to you?
What it does depends on what they're sad about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Jack,
don't like Jack Bush.
Sometimes you like get over it. You know that's better or whatever. And other times you might.
Now, who did it? There's another.
And in this case, let me say it a different way. Even brothers and sisters, we look at each other. You walk in the house and she's upset. It's going to do something to you. I walk in the house and she's upset. My daughter, that's going to do something to me. Grandma, the Mad Avenger husband, walks in the house and she sees Ernie over there crying in the corner. It's going to do something, even if she's just pouting. It might do something to you, bro.
Depending on
why she's pouting. So Ahab gets this pep talk from his wife, Jezebel. And what does he do? We know that by the end of the tale, Naboth is dead. And Ahab has the vineyard. Okay? That's who we're dealing with here. That guy's going to go and retake Ramoth Gilead. And before they go to do that, there's an affinity. There's a treaty that comes between Jehoshaphat and Ahab. And that treaty is that Jehoshaphat's son will marry Ahab's daughter. What that does is that brings the two kingdoms together in a treaty so that now they're friends, all right? And now they can go against the Syrians, and Ahab has his backup. Now, Jehoshaphat's backup was not the army. Jehoshaphat's backup was who? Yeah?
God.
Jehoshaphat wasn't studying those 400 prophets of Baal, talking about some go on up and be okay. No. He said, you got a real man of God here. What was Ahab's response? He found a real man of God. As a matter of fact, he didn't have to look far. This guy right here is the God, is the prophet of the God from you guys. Would Micaiah stand out in Israel? If so, why?
He was the realest man in the world.
Realest man? Like one of the only prophets of God left. God has prophets everywhere. All right. When Elijah, who was around at this time, Elijah actually backed off for a little bit. In First Kings 21st chapter, around right before from where you were reading in the 22nd chapter, it said that Elijah had backed off for a minute. He wasn't really on the scene right now. This was between these people. God didn't have the mission for Elijah at that time. Does that mean Elijah was not a real prophet? No, that means God's mission was for who? Micaiah. And when Micaiah was activated and came before the kings, not one king, but both kings, what did he do?
Kind of went along with what the other guys were saying initially.
Go ahead. Fine. Whatever. Yeah. Oh, you going at the Ramoth Gilead? Yeah. But then what happened? Why was that not enough? Or question, was that enough? When he just gave his passing blessing? Go on, do it. You do what you want to do. Was that enough for the kings? Mm-hmm. No, what did they say?
It's interesting it wasn't Jehoshaphat that had the objection to what he said. It was Jehoshaphat. No, you'll never greet me. I'll believe you.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And that's interesting.
That is interesting.
That is funny. In the 13th verse, Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak.